You know what that means? It's warm beer and the cheap seats. It's Friday night. We are live and back. And I'm here with Big Mike and my temporary laptop. And here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are.
What's happening, everybody? It's Friday night. It's warm beer and cheap seats. Big Mike coming at you. We got an interesting show for you tonight. We just sampled a new pizza sensation, which we'll cover in a full review this evening. That's right, everybody. Yes. The calzone.
The calzone.
We got a calzone here at the Studio C commissary and enjoyed it. We're going to talk about the mall.
Yes.
What's going down at the mall?
Yes.
We're going to talk a little bit about TV, movies.
Yeah.
Going to throw some baseball in there. There's all kinds of good stuff going on. And
yeah, we'll probably hear about a Subway Slam tonight. Big Ed's going to be calling in a little bit. Sweet Melissa's not going to be joining us tonight.
No.
But she's just, well, maybe she will.
There she is. Hi, Sweet Melissa. Welcome. And,
yes.
To the chat board.
And then Big Ed's going to continue his countdown of must-have albums.
And we got Big Mike's Cosmic Country Cavalcade for you tonight. Covering an album mentioned last week on last week's show. If you guys were paying attention, I'll be covering that later.
It was a fun one. Well, I listened to the album.
Awesome. Yes. Glad you did. So we'll be covering that later in the show. But let's get this going. I think we should let's just get right to the calzone.
Do you want to do the – well,
Or am I jumping?
Do you want to wait till Big Ed joins to talk to calzone?
We can.
I always like Big Ed's input on the food. Yeah. So, all right. So part of this thing, I've been using a temporary laptop. It's a loaner. I had to go to the mall. So I was trying to get to a Best Buy that was connected to this mall that's by me. And lo and behold, I walked through the mall. For whatever reason.
Is this the one off US 19?
Correct. Gulfview?
Gulfview. It has a Sam Seltzer Steakhouse attached to
correct.
It. At one point, they had a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I don't know if that's still attached.
Now, there's a Wing House over there, but what I noticed, when did Wing House drop the Kurz off it? Because it was always called Kurz Wing House. It was called
Kurz Wing House.
And he was a former football player.
He played for Dallas.
Correct, but now it's just called Wing House, so I don't know if that means he got bought out or what that's all about.
I don't know.
Because I haven't been in a Wing House in a little while, maybe a year. They got a two-story one down by Raymond James.
Oh, yes.
That's
– I've been
– you met me there
I
once.
I met you there
yeah,
once.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You sat at the bar upstairs.
Yeah, that's a good setup there.
Probably the most wonderful Wing House on the planet.
Yeah. Now that one's pretty good.
So back to the mall.
Oh, yes.
They walked through the mall.
Wow. The mall was scary. It was like The Walking Dead. It was empty in there. You know, of course, there was like the piercing pagoda was somehow survived the pandemic. And
well, you can't get COVID from getting earrings.
No, but I mean, there were like big clothing stores, not just closed. I mean, gutted out. Like Abercrombie and Fitch, gone.
Like they said, they packed up and left town.
Yep. Yeah, like almost every like Express or Limited, and I mean, a lot of the clothing boutiques are absolutely gone. There's like some like random shoe store. I'm like, well, that's a Save-A-Lot brand shoe store, so never heard of them. It wasn't like Foot Locker or Finish Line. There's one I've.
Was it like an athletic shoe store?
Yeah.
Like a mom and pop style.
Yeah. I just never heard of them. But the department stores were closed to go in. You'd have to go out and go around, like Dillard's.
Oh, that's weird. And so you couldn't get to them from the inside of the mall?
No. I was like, well, what's that all
what's
about?
What's the purpose of the mall?
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I heard that they're like the malls are done. But after I went today, I'm like, the malls are done, dude. You know, just like the dishes. They're done.
Done.
And that's kind of sad.
kind of sad because I let me tell you one of my earliest mall memories.
When we first moved here to the Tampa Bay area.
When the Tampa Bay Center was still in existence.
Was that the one on Florida?
That was the one by
Warren Bush. James. The Tampa Bay Mall.
Yeah, Tampa Bay Mall.
That was a nice mall. That was a great mall.
They built it like in a – the parking lot was like the second level.
Yes.
Because it was a two-story mall, but you're like in the basement for the first story. It wasn't really the basement because they just had the parking lot on the second level. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, that's kind of countryside kind of always had like a crazy parking garage too.
And I remember going to this mall, especially Christmas time. It was always nice. They had a big Christmas tree.
No. That was – dude, high school, that was the place just kind of hang out or even in junior high.
They had a really awesome food court.
Well, awesome for the time. I don't know if it'd be awesome today, but they had pizza.
Sbarro's.
Yeah, man.
Oh, the food court was absolutely closed. There was nothing open in the food court. Nothing. That was another thing that was really weird.
Nothing. Did it look like they were just closed?
Not even an Auntie Anne's pretzel or anything?
Not a Orange Julius. not a little Asian lady handing out samples. The Philly cheesesteak, Charlie's.
Oh, they're good cheesesteaks.
All that stuff was closed. It was.
Now, did it look like they were just closed for the day or closed?
They're closed, dude. There's no registers. There's no.
They're out.
Out, dude. I mean, insane.
So this mall is like a bad week from closing.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't know how you recover. I mean, the anchor stores are still there. So, you know, but Jesus, I don't know if they're going to come back. So I did get a laptop. I'm not going to have it for a week. They have to ship it in. And then
where's it coming from?
I don't know. I imagine they probably had it in stock at another store.
Yeah, you just got to get it from another store.
Yeah.
Get it. Well, that's good.
Yeah. And then
China. So,
yeah. So we got that taken care of. So. Just bear with us. The sound quality will get better. That's what I'm working on. So the laptop's key. Because my other one, it just decided not to find the internet.
To take shit.
Yeah. It turns on. It does basic operations. It just refuses to go.
It doesn't want to go on the triple W anymore.
Nope. It will refuse to find a signal. And if you plug in the Ethernet, it refuses to acknowledge that.
Do you think it's just on strike?
Yeah. It's just got senile, I guess.
So you're telling me it's got computer dementia?
Computer dementia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of sad. I wonder if there's any, organizations helping to reverse or study computer dementia to prevent it from happening. Because it's sad.
Yes, we need a public service announcement for that.
Computer dementia.
That's an emoji.
So we're at Casey right now is on our message board. I didn't know we had emojis.
Yeah, I think that's like
a
new.
Devil and a clown.
Yes, well, I don't like this browser that we're using, but it makes the it just operates a little different than what I'm used to. Some things are a little limited, but that's all right. We'll survive.
Hey, we're soldiering on.
Be okay. However, now that Big Ed's back, we were waiting for you there, Big Ed. We wanted to tell you about the calzone.
The calzone.
I saw the commercial. It was funny. The commercial was on right when I was calling you guys a little while ago. So please, I had a frozen pizza for dinner. So what's the verdict?
So we'll give you the. I went to Little Caesars, got a fresh one. They had to make the calzone for me.
Yeah, I didn't get like a 3-hour old calzone.
That's what Big Mike demands. He demands fresh product.
Yeah, I want fresh product.
So we had the calzone and some crazy bread.
Yes.
Casey was very excited about crazy bread.
I could have been just pleased with just crazy bread. I haven't had that in so long.
Bless you, Big Ed.
Let me tell you what Little Caesars does good. Their sauce is pretty good. I don't think it's shitty. I think it's they put a lot of effort into the sauce because it's got a little spice to it.
Yeah.
And it's a little chunky. It's not like it doesn't taste canned.
Let's face it. It tastes pretty fresh to me. You know, obviously they're probably using canned tomatoes. They're not using
fresh tomatoes.
They're using canned tomatoes.
No, they're not plucked off the vine, the babies.
No. They're plucked off the shelf.
Yeah.
So anyways, Big Ed, we get the calzone, gets home.
Yes.
Piping hot fresh.
Flip open the box. And it looks like a pizza that every quarter they cut it and they kind of rolled it over. It's like they have a couple of slices rolled over on each other's.
Yeah.
To create the calzone portion.
So it looks like an iron cross is what it looks like.
Yeah, it's deceptive because my first take was Casey's it looks like small.
Right.
It looks small, but it's very deceptive.
So they have each the calzone part.
Yes.
Cut in two.
They have the pizza in the center cut, you know, in sections.
The dough was the appearance is nice.
Nice appearance.
Yes.
Didn't look shitty. Didn't look thrown together. Ample amounts of butter on it. And Parmesan cheese.
Definitely butter.
I watched them. I watched the final assembly of several calzones tonight.
So I could get a view into the kitchen while waiting at Little Caesars and watch the, I don't know what the hell they call their pizza makers. This pizza maker, he flipped it out off the pan that came through the conveyor belt oven onto the cardboard box. And then there is a ketchup squirt bottle full of butter, like melted butter. That is literally sprayed, I guess you could say, squirted
onto the calzone.
Gosh, you went. These are bad adjectives to use. Sprayed and squirted.
That's why I used them.
Oh, God.
And we're talking about butter.
Not nut butter, but butter. And then
it put the Parmesan on it.
So coming out of the box, it had a nice appearance.
Yeah.
Cheese, a little browning to it. I thought the crust was nice. The filling on the calzone portion is like a mozzarella.
Yeah.
And they have some diced up pepperoni, which I think they could have used a little more.
Could have been a little light
on the diced up pepperoni.
Very, very conservative on the pepperoni.
Yeah, on the diced up. Now you had the pepperoni on the pizza portion, which was the center, which was normal portions.
Hey, guys.
But in the calzone portion.
Jay Mike.
What's happening, Jay Mike?
Yeah, all I heard was squirt and sprayed. What were you talking about?
Butter.
Calzone. Those guys are getting off on a calzone.
Oh, yeah, my God.
This is an only.
I thought that we were going rated R on this thing. I didn't know we were there.
Triple, it's single X, not triple X.
Got it. Single X. One got X. It.
So I thought it was delicious. I thought what I ordered, the crust was brown, delicious, a little crispy, yet chewy on the inside.
Yeah.
You had the mozzarella and the calzone part, a little bit of garlic, pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Who's listening to music?
I don't know, not us. It was good.
Is that me, guys?
Yeah, that's you, Jimmy Mike.
It's picking up. Hang on, let me take this off.
All right. Well,
what's your thoughts? I'd order it again. I'd order it again.
I'll say this. I don't think PizzaBot died in vain. It's not going to be the first thing, but it is an interesting gimmick. It'll get people that's worth a try. Hey, look, if it was here again,
I'd eat it. Yeah, for sure.
But I'm not going to go out of my way, if you know what I mean.
You know, what if it,
All right. So Pizza Hut in the '90s did that stuffed crust pizza, which I think
never liked. Did not like that.
Same here. Never liked it. I tried it just like everyone else, and I was like, nope. I only had it once, and then that was
that. Was it? That's it. Same.
But I, you know, this is way better than that. I don't think there's a Little Caesars near me personally, but ooh, excuse me.
That's a little calzone coming.
That's
out.
A calzone.
Is that Big Ed's Foley Artist Kitchen going on there? Is that what that was?
No, that was me reacting to the calzone.
Oh,
I was just, you know, I was concerned. You know, the pizza gods were going to smite us for, like, you know, this abomination of calzone and pizza. In like
calzone and pizza love child.
Yeah, I mean, at a wedlock, you know, and I was going to get turned into a pillar of salt or something. So I was a little nervous.
We survived.
Hey, what do you think they call those Little Caesar employees? I think they're called centurions.
I would call legions. Legions, yes, yeah. They're legions. Roman legions.
Yes.
The employees here at the Little Caesars I went to did not remind me of Roman legions.
I don't know that. Well, yeah, because the manager, he's like, just kind of calls them little cocksuckers. Hey, little cocksuckers.
Yeah, that's what they are.
The other thing, the Little Caesar guy on the box, he's on the scooter, but his legs do not reach like the floorboard of the scooter.
Hey, that can't be safe, is it?
Yeah, no.
That can't be safe at all.
So there we go. There's calzone. Yeah, it's pretty tasty. I enjoyed it. I think it's something on a whim, something different. It would be nice. I'd do it again.
Well, it's called pizza. You can't say calzone until they can perfect that. I don't think they'll be able to perfect.
Yeah, I don't think they're converting the whole menu over to calzones.
Yeah, I don't see that.
But that
little fuck will be back on pizza.
I like how he has his spear, and there's a pizza on the spear.
Little Caesar.
He found a wild pizza and caught it.
Stabbed it.
Yeah.
And it's missing one slice that he's eating.
Oh, yeah. It is missing a slice.
It is.
So. But just I'll tell you this. As a kid, my parents would get my sister and I Little Caesars on a Friday night so they could go out when we're old enough to stay home alone. When we're, you know, preteens, they'd get us Little Caesars, pizza.
Yep.
It would come on a cardboard, like, runner, if you will, with the paper cover. And it was – I eat Little Caesars pizza now. Brings back some memories as a kid. It wasn't bad. Is it the best pizza ever? No. Is it edible, delicious pizza? Yes.
That should be their slogan. It's edible.
It's edible.
What is slogan? Is it the best pizza ever? No. But it's edible.
Is it edible? Edible and delicious. You got to throw the delicious in.
And then Domino's would come back with an ad. They're like, we've been saying that for years.
But we keep getting fucked. But like we said last week, the Little Caesars Detroit-style pizza, I think that's the winner of all winners right there, which will – we'll save that. We'll do that review another time. So, anyway, there we go. That's the calzone review.
Yep.
First one probably on the airwaves. I don't think any other podcast or radio shows covered a calzone.
They're going to be all talking about it now because they scan our podcast for content.
They do. And then riddle me this, Casey. If somebody wanted to reach us via email,
how would they do this?
They would reach us at the show at warmbeerandcheapseats.com. Or you can tweet at us at Beer Seats
Twitter.
On the Twitter machine,
yes.
And if they wanted to see us on the website, see our website because we really do exist.
Yes, just warmbeerandcheapseats.com.
That's right. We got the domain. We beat everybody to it.
We beat them. I think that guy from Amazon was trying to buy it.
Bezos.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
Whatever. Did he start it from the get-go?
What, Amazon?
Yeah. When it was just a bookseller?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember ordering books from him.
Yeah. No, he started it. Came a long way from just selling books. He launches weird ass out in space.
In a penis rocket.
Yes. Is that a surprise? I mean, their logo is a fucking Peroni's dick. So.
Well, they wanted to do it with a good old hard dick.
I mean, he's been giving us the dick pic for years every time they fucking throw around that Amazon logo.
Now they gave us the big dick into space.
They did.
Good old Bezos. He's got like a young girlfriend, doesn't he?
I think I saw her on TV the other day.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, when you're rich, you can do that.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, anyone could get a hooker with money.
Yeah. You know, hey, I'm not knocking it. I would do it if I had money.
Do you think he's running around saying he's got tiger blood now? Winning. Yeah.
Did what's his face? Charlie Sheen say he had tiger blood?
Yes.
What the fuck's that mean?
It's just called AIDS.
Yes, it's AIDS.
He is AIDS.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what we're saying now. I mean, you're talking about AIDS. You talk about a guy that had a breakdown.
Yeah.
So how you doing there, Jimmy Mike?
Yeah, Jimmy
Mike. Guys. How are you guys?
Yeah, doing all right.
What's happening in the nation's capital area?
Oh, man, we got so much going on. We got riots. We got crooked politicians. Nothing. Same old, same old.
Same old, same old.
Yeah, good old D.C. area.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Some things you can always count on.
Mm-hmm. How did you guys weather that storm, Ida?
Ida kind of just blew right by us.
Yeah, blew right by us.
We got rain.
We got a lot of rain, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's all we got, too, is some rain. But we got a lot of rain. I was impressed. But we were able to survive.
I guess the pitchers from Newark.
They got hammered, huh?
Yeah. They got walloped.
Wow.
Yeah.
Up in the north, you know, Jersey, New York, they got walloped with Ida.
Oh, they canceled Bonnaroo.
No way. Like
Tennessee got it real bad.
That's a big deal too, man. That's huge.
Yeah, and they didn't even like go and like, oh, we'll just delay it 2 weeks. They're like, just, hey, we'll see you in 2022. And, you know, people are already heading there with RVs and stuff like that. But they're like, you can't even get onto the campgrounds. They said they couldn't even get – there's standing water. Like, they're like, they couldn't even get roadies in and start building the stages and stuff. They're like, there's no way we're going to be able to do this. But, I mean, that's a massive show to just go and
– Yes. Who was headlining that one?
I think Foo Fighters. There's going to be like Foo Fighters. Now I'm going to forget who's all in it. I mean, the lineup. Well, every year the lineup's pretty impressive. It's just like a little bit more laid back. Well, what's the one in California everyone goes nuts about?
Which one's that? Is it Lollapalooza?
No, well, that's now in Chicago. Anyways. Well, I'm not going to look it up. That's why I need an intern. If you want to intern for Warm Beer and Cheap Seats, you can email us your resume at the show at warmbeerandcheapseats.com.
Take your resumes now.
Yes.
You must have a cup size of 34 double D and have a tramp stamp.
Oh, Coachella.
Yeah, Coachella. Thank you. Thank you, big guy.
Oh, that just popped in my head.
Keep going, Jimmy Mike. I like what you're saying.
Yeah, you could have earring, nipple rings, or belly button ring, your choice.
Or the combo platter.
Now, how about the toe rings?
That's kind of weird. Is that kind of like a beach thing?
It is a beach thing.
I thought it was like that was a – there's meaning to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, any of our female listeners that would like to message us on the board.
That if a chick wore toe rings, her hoo-ha area was
– Really?
Shaved clean.
Oh, that's like if someone has like a pineapple upside down in their grocery cart, they're ready to swing. Yeah, they're supposed to be like hidden codes when you grocery shop, and I'm like,
where do you find these hidden codes? What if I'm accidentally putting a hidden code? I'm out like, there?
I just want the BOGO. There's Lipton tea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What if I accidentally, not like anybody's approached me, but if they find,
I got a priest give me a good game slap, you know.
So if you have white rocks in the front of your house too, that's also a sign that you are swingers. That's a big deal.
Really?
White rocks? White rocks, and it's just like a few of them. I don't think it's like the whole, you know.
Are they like in a formation? Formation?
Like it's got to be a big rock.
Like, either one big rock or a few, like four or five in a row, like in a bundle. Not like you have it instead of mulch, you have rocks. It's just like a few rocks, and people will knock on the door.
Do we need to ride around the neighborhood more for this?
Yeah.
And put rocks on people's front
door. Knock on their door.
Yeah. Let's just leave like white rocks in like the neighbor's, you know, house and then watch two starts knocking. Yeah.
Hey, are you ready to party? Let's party. What are you talking about? You got the rocks. I'm here. Come on, man.
80-year-old.
Don't play it off like
comes out.
Yeah, don't play it off like we don't do this. I saw you guys last week at Betty and Joe's house last week. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, weren't you at the ballet?
Yes.
see, Jimmy Mike, you're onto something. So I'm gonna check out Big Mike's neighborhood. There's
Google that stuff up.
That's right.
I gotta Google the damn grocery store like hidden code. We need to research that for the show.
Well, I did get into a deep dive on Wikipedia on hobos. And traveling gypsies, and they have their own hidden codes too.
Okay, so what are some of the hobos
seem
like friendly and nice. What are some of their
they're traveling workers, kind of migrants in a sense. But they would leave codes to let people know if it was a friendly town, if they would be able to get work and stuff.
How would they do that?
Like painted signs in different spots.
Yeah.
Hobo
code.
Yep. I'll look that up later.
Yeah. Yep. And join us now to the show.
Speaking of hobos,
yes, we got the Subway Slam joining us live.
Real quick on this Bonnaroo lineup, they have Primus and Nelly on the same ticket.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah, that's right. Primus was coming back.
Crazy.
Oh, that's got to be awesome.
With Nelly.
That's no, not Nelly.
No, but Bonnaroo's always done. They'll bring country acts.
Crazy! This lineup is crazy.
All over the place, right?
Well, I think they have like comedy shows going on usually.
What?
Too. Yeah, because they'll have like three stages going.
Flogging Molly.
They're awesome. They're fun.
I don't think they're gonna make my top 40.
No, I doubt it, but they're fun to watch and listen to.
Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats. That ought to be a good one. Sorry, go ahead, Mr. Subway Slam.
Hey, no problem. Hey, I'm doing good. Better than Mike Richards.
I heard you were interviewed for the Jeopardy job. Do you have any
idea? Yeah, I declined.
Yeah, hard to believe.
Did you?
I'm looking
at a hobo code. Okay.
It's as if it didn't happen. That's how I feel.
I declined. LeVar Burton deserves the job more than me. Besides, I'm running for governor, and I could win, especially my statement from last week wanting to build a wall. My case is pretty proven since Hurricane Ida came to New York.
How's that go?
Well, I'll say this. Heavy rain. But let's just say the subways are closed.
The subways got slammed.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The end. Once upon a time, there was a subway. It rained, and it got slammed. The end.
The end.
That's a standing O. That's a standing O.
Way to go, baby.
Well, that's because Subway Slam's going to have a new...
new rival?
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess the Subway is now water park now. It turned to a water park. You know, I didn't really go outside. I stayed home, played the usual game that I usually play, MLB The Show. Doing great. Doing great, am I right?
Of course you're right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, James, you know what's going to happen in a few days?
That's
seen you brought up a Subway Slam on MLB. The Orioles are going to get to win number 43, and that means the 1962 Mets get together and they can pop the champagne and celebrate that the worst record in baseball is protected for yet another year.
1962.
Did they really do that? That'd be cool.
The 1962 Mets, yeah.
I'm good at that part.
40 led and 120. Or 42.
Led by Ed Cranpool.
Yes.
Yeah, I just pulled a card of him.
Ed Cranpool's a Met hero. Don't ever talk shit about him.
For sure he is. If any Met fan does not know who he is, you're not an actual Met fan.
My favorite Met is Neil Allen.
Neil Allen? Never heard of him.
Mine's Jim Fregosi.
Mine's Daryl Cocaine Strawberry.
I don't think it's that on his top card.
But Mr. Met.
Because he flips the bird.
I thought you would be like Howard Johnson because you're like, he had good hotels.
His restaurant had fried clams.
Jimmy, Mike, I am a Daryl Strawberry fan too. I met him buying fireworks one year, 4th of July.
Really?
Yeah. I walked up. I said, hey, Mr. Strawberry, how are you doing? What are you doing out here? He goes, buying fireworks? I'm like, yeah, me too.
That's awesome.
You're better. You're like, hey, what are you doing out here? Shouldn't you be in jail?
There was never foul lines when he played ball, right? Because he was always sniffing those.
Oh, wow. Bazing.
Ooh.
Yeah, my favorite Met of all time is Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor.
Hey, you know what? Didn't Len Dykstra play for them for a little bit?
He did, yeah.
A lot of it.
Oh, he did a lot,
for the Mets? Yeah, I'd say about like 3-4 seasons.
Okay. I remember having, but he played more for the Phillies or no?
Yeah, more for the Phillies.
Yeah.
Any guy with a name
Nails.
I think that's a great name, Lenny.
He had a great nickname, Nails.
Nails.
I mean, he turned out to be.
He went to jail, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like a fraud.
Money laundering?
No, like real estate or something.
Yeah, he got in trouble for moving a lot of money, stealing people's money.
Yeah.
Hell of a ball player. Loved his
skills. My favorite Mets of all time is Francisco Lindor and Javier Baez because the Mets fans keep booing him for some reason.
All right, Subway Slam, I think you're trolling the Mets fans now.
Yeah, so
you were Yankees.
He's looking for votes, Casey. Yeah. The Subway Slam's looking for votes.
Yeah, and building a wall because Hurricane Ida came, it helps. It helps my career, and it helps my chances of being governor to a high. Am I right?
Yeah, you're always right.
Yeah. The next step I will do, because the Met fans need a taste of their own medicine, we're going to make sure that Javier Baez is going to be a Met for the rest of his career. Whether he does good or not, the Met fans need a taste of medicine. Am I right?
Well, I don't know. What kind of medicine is it?
I hope it's not penicillin. I'm allergic to that.
Yeah. You're allergic to penicillin? No,
Epicac?
No, it's the booing medicine.
That's a medicine?
Yeah.
Maybe it works on the Yankees, but that won't work for the Mets.
Nope, it doesn't work for us. I mean, we're doing awesome. That's all I'll say. We're doing awesome. A 13-game winning streak. Awesome. I have fun with that winning streak. Am I right?
Hey, the Rays 6.5 up on first place in the last month.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. Like really good.
They have possibly the best baseball player in all of baseball.
Who in Wander Franco.
Wander Franco.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Nelson Cruz.
Nelson adds a good dimension, you know, and helps protect a couple bats in that lineup, but Wander Franco's rarefied air.
Yeah.
Now, sure, everyone wants to talk about Mike Trout and Ohtani, and that's great, but leave it to the Angels to have two absolutely studs and still finish with, 77 wins this year. So,
yeah, they're just disappointing. I feel bad for both Ohtani and Trout personally. Trout's only made the playoffs once. It sucks. It sucks for him. I will also say, because the Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame, is in Cooperstown, which is in New York. I think as governor, I think we need to make some changes. We need to make some changes on the
Hall of Fame. What kind of changes?
Yeah. How's it coming with stopping the influx of folks from Jersey just flooding the city and taking all those New Yorkers' jobs?
How's that going? So, we need to build a wall. We need to build a wall for sure. I said last week, and my case is getting proven every single day by the minute. Am I right?
No, actually, you're wrong. Because they have toll roads. You have to pay a toll to get in. So
yeah,
maybe if you raise the toll to a point where it's so expensive, they can't come.
Yeah, how about we just increase the amount of money for tolls?
Hey, that's a – am I right or am I right?
Am I right? Yeah.
I think you're right.
But sounds like I heard that already, but yeah, raise the toll.
Yeah.
You don't need a wall. Or a tunnel. They already have them.
I could. Yeah. I will say this because Cooperstown, New York is pretty important in New York. Sure. We need some changes in Cooperstown. And it's not the building itself. It's not the Hall of Fame itself. It's the people.
Oh, my. What's wrong with the people in Cooperstown, Subway Slam?
And this is mainly on the voters. And I have an issue with them and thinking that the Hall of Fame is the naughty or nice list. Santa Claus is not deciding who gets in the Hall of Fame. It's people who knows.
It's the Easter Bunny.
Yeah. Easter Bunny. Maybe, you know what? Maybe, you know.
Watch out for that Easter Bunny. I put that video out there. He's going to mess someone up.
Yeah.
He's a very, very angry person.
Yeah. You know I mean, even Bugs Bunny tried it, and it's a hard job. Nobody wants to be the Easter Bunny. Especially when that little kid paints his head.
Bags under his eyes and everything.
Yeah. Because you have to sing the song when you're delivering the eggs. You know, I'm the Easter Rabbit. Hooray. It's a whole thing. Yeah.
So the Hall of Fame treats is like Santa Claus, like the naughty or nice list. Like they'll induct, like they'll leave players out because of their attitude and off the field issues and not based on like their stats and their awards and how they impacted the sport. Most notably, Curt Schilling. But I'm not going to go in depth because he's running his mouth every single year.
And, well, Babe Ruth's in the Hall of Fame. He was no angel.
Yeah.
You're going to be throwing out a lot of guys out of that Hall of Fame,
pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, because I can't even tell. Like, I've started to study, like, who's going to probably get in the Hall of Fame very soon and who isn't. I'm talking about, like, guys that are already retired and not eligible yet. Guys like Joe Mauer, Chase Utley, Joe Nathan. If they don't get in, I might have to send them in myself.
Oh, to make like an executive order?
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of executive orders, Pete Rose, I'm going to make sure he gets reinstated. I'm going to do an executive order to reinstate him.
That's a good move, actually.
Yeah, but yeah. Does the governor have that kind of power?
I'll make sure he has that power.
Oh. Huh. Well, that'd be great. Pete Rose should have been in years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, actually, first ballot, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you only had like 4,500 hits.
Yeah.
No one's touched.
Yeah, the only.
You only watch stats. My Pete Rose stats, 4,500 hits. Those are good stats. Those are good stats.
Yeah, and then, if anything does not happen, I will have to make an executive order. I'm going to have to make an executive order. And when it comes to the steroid guys, I'm not going to do anything with them. I'm going to just let them ride through. If they don't get in, they don't get in. If they do, then congrats, they get in.
But what about your wrestling career? Because I heard there's a new up-and-comer who doesn't take any shit. I think we'll hear from him next week.
Oh.
What do you say to that, Subway Slam?
Oh, I want to hear from this. I want to hear from this guy.
Oh.
Is this that gentleman guy?
I know.
No. No. There's someone else he's got beef with. He hasn't even met yet.
Oh, my.
He's been listening to the show.
Gentleman is
full of shit.
Yeah.
I bet this guy touches people's wee-wee like Jared Porter.
Allegedly. You got to finish that with it allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate all to right, see what he's going to do to your wee-wee.
Yeah, you know what? I think we're going to let you go on that one there, Subway Slam.
Yeah. All right.
Think about your last statement.
Yeah.
Go talk to the ultimate Karen.
Yeah. All right, everyone, that was a Subway Slam.
Subway Slam. Yep. Subway Slam.
Nice.
Go follow the Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats on Twitter. You know what to do. They're awesome.
You know, the thing,
Yeah.
The thing.
All right, Subway now. Slam. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a Subway Slam.
Subway Slam. Yeah. Always entertaining.
Yeah, am I right?
What a busy guy. Yeah, yeah. Am I right? No, you're wrong. You had left your room in 5 days. You're wrong. You're not busy.
I watched the other night, Dazed and Confused. When's the last time you guys have watched
Man, I used to watch it all the time.
Within a month or so.
It's been a few years. It's been
It's been a while. If it's on, I watch it. I'll watch it over Forrest Gump now. That's
what?
Wow. Yeah, I'm with Big Ed. I'd watch Dazed and Confused over Forrest Gump.
If those are the two films on TV, Dazed and Confused all day long.
You know, I'd be going back and forth during commercials, but soundtrack to Dazed and Confused is awesome.
Better than Forrest Gump there, Big Ed?
It's such a close second.
I know. I was going to say, I thought the other way around for you, but they're both pretty good.
The story is, and they named the movie Dazed and Confused, but they wanted to get Zeppelin in that soundtrack. Apparently, Jimmy Page would not sign off on it.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They don't have much music out in movies. I think what's the one with the
Silver Linings Playbook's the only movie I can think of. There's one that there's cashmere in.
About the the Rolling Stone writer. God, well, I can't think of it.
About Cameron Crowe.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, Almost Famous.
Almost Famous has Zeppelin in it. Yeah. So good. Yeah,
that's a good movie. Days of Confused, though. Next time watch the movie, count how many times that kid touches his nose.
Many times.
Yeah, like it's a drinking game.
That's a great drinking game. I was going to say that's excellent.
Yeah, I mean, there are some scenes you're just like, I'm seeing sideways right now.
the old wiper risky.
Yeah. It's like, was he just doing it, or they're telling him to do
it?
Is
that where he rubs the bridge of his nose? Like, yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that maybe that was one of his nervous quirks that maybe they just incorporated into the movie because it was
probably.
Yeah.
I see him on the mound doing that shit all the time too. Wasn't he the pitcher, that kid with the long hair?
Yeah, I think that was the only movie he did, and he did a lot of directed and stuff after that.
Wait, what movie?
Days of Confused.
Oh.
The kid, you know, he was the one that who the
that
movie
keeps
was
touching his nose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's a director now?
He does a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Because that movie was a launching springboard for a lot of actors in that movie.
McConaughey, Affleck. Who was the girls on that? What were the famous girls on that one?
Joey Lauren Adams and Mila Jovovich. Yep. And Buster Posey was really young in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah, Buster Posey, that's right.
Yeah, Buster Posey.
Casey, that came out in like 96, 97, something like that, or earlier than that?
No, earlier. I'm going to say that came out like around 93, 94.
Okay.
Yeah.
Release date September 24th, 1993.
Okay.
And then around that time, that movie came out, and then there was one called Stone Days or something like that.
Hmm.
And Comedy Central played all the time, and it's horrible. It was clearly they were trying to replicate Dazed and Confused. It was just like. Was it kids in the late 70s getting high and going to high school.
Yeah.
That could be any town USA in that time.
That could have been Big Ed.
It was. I mean, it was any town USA at that time.
They had great cars.
Smoke weed and
Big Ed, did they have the paddle when you were in school?
No, I didn't quite get that. I don't know anyone that I grew up with had that issue. Even in other rival schools, they didn't do that shit. That must have been a Texas thing.
What's that, Jimmy Mike? What was the question? I missed that.
Did they do the paddles when they go?
Yeah.
Where it said, fuck you. I love that one. Fuck you.
I think or this could that paddle thing could just be something that was made up for the film.
I know they used to use paddles in school from the principals. They used to do that kind of
thing. I remember that as a kid.
But I don't know why the kids would have it on other kids. That's kind of.
Well, I'll use a paddle on the intern, but that's because that's the rules, not because I want to.
But sometimes these interns enjoy that.
They just got to learn their place. And to send your resume to intern here at Warm Beer and Cheap Seats, you want to email that at the show at warmbeerandcheapseats.com.
And how many pictures do they need? Like, what kind of angles do we want?
As many as possible. the higher the def, the better.
So 8K?
Yeah. I don't want something where I'm enhancing and it pixelates.
Yeah. We don't want that. It has to be natural.
Yes. Oh, are we boring you?
right on. What did he say? Am I right? Yeah. Am I right? Am I right?
Someone's dazed. Someone's confused.
Jesus.
Well, you know what? I got in the habit of muting it, and I did.
Hey, why don't you just rip a fart? Just tell us the segment sucks.
Rock and roll trivia.
If he, ripping a fart on live air would be cool. Be insane.
Just saying.
Who's this guy wrestling? The bald guy. Who's that?
Cesaro, the Swiss cyborg.
I never seen
him. He's been around for a while.
Him and his fucking pepperoni titties, you know?
All right, so for people listening, we have SmackDown on the background.
Yeah,
that guy should be called fucking Pepperoni Man.
He's going to spin him around. That's his move. And then he flings him.
Flatten him and put him inside out.
And then he tempts him with that pepperoni nipple of his. He goes, hey, little,
you want to lick this?
He's like, I ain't going to take this shit from the calzone. That should be his name.
The big calzone?
His name should be the big calzone.
I'm not taking that from no gabagool.
Instead of the Swiss cyborg, the Swiss calzone.
I like nothing but melted mozzarella on this nipple.
That'd be painful.
Yes.
Kind of like this show.
Painful. Yes.
A little painful.
Hey, Mike, you said there was a show you wanted to discuss with us.
New game show. It was on Sundays. They now have it on Wednesday night, which Wednesday night to me is dead TV. There's not much on.
Yeah.
It's a family game fight with Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard.
Yes.
What's it called?
Family Game Fight. So Dax and Kristen each have a team, a family. They're usually
family or friends.
Family or friends. And how many? Five people?
Yeah, five.
Five people. And they have to – Dax has a team. Kristen has a team. They switch mid-show, and they compete for points. And sometimes the contestants are involved, and there's a few games where the contestants are not. I kind of like the show. I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, you know, I like them. I think they're the only reason that show can work. I think it's just too busy. It tries too hard. I'm not sold on it. But I like Kristen Bell. And I like Dax. I haven't been a fan of the game. It's produced by Ellen, and I don't like Ellen's other game show.
Yeah, Ellen's
Game of Games or something that.
I'm not a fan of it.
She, look, the game comes off to me as mean. Like, she's just basically going to punk you on national TV. At some point, you're going to get dunked in something or thrown off stage.
And she's going to hang it from a rope.
Yeah. I mean, it's
bully stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're into that, then you can intern for the Ellen show.
Yeah.
I think that's well put. It is kind of like a bully show.
But it is. I don't know. And I get a weird vibe, though. Kristen and Dax are a lot more likable.
They're super likable.
Yeah.
They're pretty funny.
Yeah. And I mean, they have
a married couple. They have chemistry.
Yeah.
And that comes across very
realistic.
Very nicely on television. Yeah, it comes across nicely on TV. I mean, they're not trying too hard.
Yeah.
So my favorite game that they had, it was not this Wednesday's episode, it was the Sunday prior, where they had to make pizzas. So they had two members of the family. They were taped together or strapped together back to back. And there were orders coming out for the pizza, and it was the dough, and they had four jars of product that they had to put on it.
Right.
And Dax or Kristen is calling out the order, and it's random. They had anchovies, Swedish fish, macaroni and cheese,
I'm trying to remember what else it was.
On a pizza.
Oh. But it's nobody's eating it. It's just an idea of these crazy ingredients, and you're sticking your hand in this thing of anchovies. And maybe it wasn't anchovies. It was probably – it was something.
Huh.
And – or sardines. It was sardines.
Yuck.
And you stuck your hand in this jar, and you get the oil, the fish juice all over it. And then you're sticking your hand in a thing of Swedish fish. And then, okay, so the pizza's on a conveyor belt. Think of the I Love Lucy chocolate factory situation.
Yeah.
So the pizza is, it's going at a certain speed, and Kristen or Dax is calling out the order, if you will, with the different ingredients. The opposing team can then, I think they had two or three opportunities to speed the conveyor belt up.
Huh.
So that, there's a chance of fish juice and other paraphernalia getting all over you. I think there was something that was powdery. I think it was powdered sugar. Hmm. So they got messy. And you had the two people back to back, and it's a team effort.
So the team that could coordinate back to back, one grabbing one ingredient, the other grabbing the other, throwing it on the pizza, they made the most pizzas.
See, I don't like watching even people get messy.
No?
It makes me anxious. I'm like, oh, that's so much cleanup involved.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Not a fan. I'm a fan. I enjoy it.
I didn't like Double Dare when I was a kid. It kind of got me upset too.
Which show?
Oh, Double Dare.
Double Dare.
Double Dare. Yeah, because it kept sliming everyone.
Yeah, I was like, come on. And I think whatever his name, Mark something, he was kind of creepy.
Mark Summers.
Yeah, Mark Summers.
He was kind of creepy. No scandal with him, huh?
Yeah, I guess he never creeped on the teenage girls that were on the show.
Yeah.
I guess not.
Or teenage boys. You never know.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
No judgment here.
Yeah, you have to have an open mind.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to creep, do it on both sides. Come on.
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Big Ed. Oh, never mind. He totally collapsed.
He missed it. He fell asleep.
No, I'm waiting for that's the chimes, the 9 o'clock chimes.
Oh, here he goes.
Boom.
See, that's – yeah, that's what you get when you make fun of his nipples.
No gabagoo for you.
It's like pepperoni.
It's Big Ed's
rock and roll retrospective. Take it away, Big Ed. Countdown.
Yeah, so to recap, the last five was Paul McCartney, Wings, Band on the Run, Yes, Fragile, Stone Temple Pilots, Tiny Music, Songs from the Vatican Gift Shop, Rush, Caress of Steel, and The Monkees' Headquarters. So at least into number 25. And like I said, these are in no particular order. Iron Maiden, Peace of Mind, 1983. They released the fourth album, Peace of Mind, reaches number 3 in the UK, number 14 in the Billboard 200. A couple of radio songs, The Trooper, The Flight of Icarus, the latter being the notable, the other one never to really get any radio airplay. Great songs on the album, though. I mean, Where Eagles Dare, based on some entitled movie with Clint Eastwood. Revelations, Die With Your Boots On, An Epic to Tame a Land, based on Frank Herbert's novel titled Dune. Iron Maiden played 151 shows for that tour, the World Peace Tour. What I love about this album is that it's filled from top to bottom with literary, movie, short story, and historical references. 8 of the 9 tracks are based on some sort of historical or literary moment in time. Might explain my infatuation with Led Zeppelin and Rush. This is one of the most complete records of all time. You have You and What Drummer moment, and then the opening drum fill of Where Eagles Dare, and that's Nico McBrain. And the onslaught continues to impress. An assault of heavy guitars and Steve Harris's Galvin bass riffs. No disappointments on this gem. Number 24, Pink Floyd, Animals, 1977. I can't tell you how much I love this album. The album is sandwiched between Pigs on the Wings Part 1 and 2. And if the wings is the Pigs on the Wing is the bread of the bread, then the three tracks between are the corned beef, sauerkraut, and Thousand Island. Rick Wright's keyboards on the opening of Sheep and David Gilmour's guitar work on Dogs and Roger Waters' thunderous bass on Sheep make this timeless forgotten album. I spent many evenings as a kid listening to this at night with headphones and loved how the music rifled through my head and then would seem to float at other times. I must have in anyone's collection and really get the Pink Floyd experience when they were all writing at the top of their Floyd game. Number 23, the Rolling Stones, their Satanic Majesty's Request. The Stones, answer to the Beatles, this is their answer to the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. This definitely took the Stones out of their comfort zone. This was panned by Rolling Stone magazine, criticizing everything from the tongue-in-cheek and cliched vocals. They did say, despite moments of unquestionable brilliance, put the status of the Rolling Stones in jeopardy. I guess it worked out pretty good for the Stones, huh? 30 albums later, still touring. I love 2000 Man. Charlie Watts shines in this number, and She's a Rainbow had considerable airplay as well. The 2000 Light Years from Home is one of my favorites. It's like the Bernays on this filet. This had a great flow into mod sounds, which makes this a favorite of mine. Saw the Stones in 88, and they played 2000 Light Years from Home for the first time live. It was a pretty special moment. Number 22, Led Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti, 1975. Look, if any of these albums I've spoken of, you got to have at least this one. This is another album that is complete from blues to rock to Middle Eastern riffs and folk. It has it all. Just scorches your britches for 83 minutes. Rolling Stone said, Physical Graffiti will likely also disappoint those who prefer their rock with lyrical significance. And yet while Zeppelin's stature as cultural spokesman can be questioned, their standing as rock musicians cannot. True, Led Zeppelin misses the swagger of the Stones, the kinetics of the Who. Huh. 16-time platinum sold 8 million copies. I say you are wrong. This cemented Zepp as the best of the best. Trampled underfoot, a powerful slide driven by John Bonham showing his prowess of being the best of the elites. And then tracks like Black Country Woman show the specter of these guys, or why are they the best? Physical Graffiti delivers the most diverse and explosive blues rock double album ever. You and what album, they say, huh? Physical Graffiti, Joe Boo. And number 21, Highway Robbery. For the Love of Money, 1972. This will be the best album, the best band you've never heard of. Highway Robbery proved themselves adept musicians and songwriters with their debut, For Love or Money, with the lyrics containing multitudes references of the 60s. Highway Robbery balanced their hippie idealism with thunderous arrangements and hints and splashes of early Black Sabbath. The combination was a winning one, but it served to confuse record purchasers and also their record company, who dropped them shortly after the album's release. This is a damn good debut album with a great ballad and some hard-hitting rock with the tracks like Bells and Promotion Man with its funky bass line. And Don Francisco, don't forget, who was the drummer, also was the main vocalist, belting out Lazy Woman kind of gets you wondering the potential that was missed on this one-and-done jewel. And those are my next five.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell you, the Iron Maiden, the Pink Floyd, and the Led Zeppelin, those are all my favorite albums from those bands.
You can't ask for anything better.
The Rolling Stones, I do like that album. I like that it's just – it's a very different Stones album. Actually, I own those four albums. Highway Robbery, you turned me on to a few months ago. I never even heard of them before, but
I had not either till we talked about the premise of the next, you know, segments I was going to do.
Yeah, no, that was pretty good. So we're getting to the nitty gritty.
Yeah, we're narrowing in. We're going.
That's 20. Now 20. The next. Yeah. Yeah.
Top 20 starts next week.
Yep. Now, Mike.
For you.
Oh, and then we got this now.
Big Mike's Cosmic Country Cavalcade coming right at you, boys and girls. I get the harp. I get like the, is that a harp? No, it's more like a
or maybe a lute or something.
No, that's a harp. That's
yeah,
like
yeah,
a
yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh Lord, you gotta get a better soundboard.
Yes,
I was hoping for like a banjo or something, but I'll take a harp.
Where's that intern? That intern will help us out.
That's right.
Well, the album I want to talk about this week in the Cosmic Country Cavalcade, piggybacking off the Monkees, would be the first national band, Magnetic South, their first album. It's Mike Nesmith and the First National Band. Mike Nesmith, former Monkee.
Mm-hmm.
After the Monkees parted ways, Mike started this band. And it's a country rock outfit. And he was the only true musician.
Correct.
In the Monkees. He wrote a plethora of songs that very few got included on their albums. And Big Ed could probably use, he knows a little more than I do. Until towards the end, they started to include some of Mike's stuff. But they had like a pool. They just went to songwriters to get the Monkees, you know, pop, jingle jangle music, which is, I'm not making fun of that. I love the Monkees. I think they're great. But so Mike, being a Texan, had a lot of country music influence. And with this band, he kind of flexed his country music muscles. He had a steel guitar player named Red Rhodes, who was a session guy out west, played on a lot of albums, country albums and rock albums. He played on a bunch of early Linda Ronstadt stuff. That's what I really enjoy on this album is Red Rhodes and his steel guitar. I'm a big steel guitar fan. I own two Red Rhodes steel guitar albums that are just strictly Red playing steel, which are awesome, incredible. So on this album, everybody listen to it. It's one of my faves of the three that were produced. I said a year and a half. It was 1 year.
Wow.
That they did Magnetic South, Loose Salute, and Nevada Fighter.
Huh.
My favorite songs off the album are the songs that you get some poppy songs on this album, which is rightfully so, because being a country rock outfit, they kind of straddle a line between a rock band and a country band. I tend to prefer the country sounding tunes. Nine Times Blue, which then melds right into Little Red Rider.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. I always wonder, listening to the album, and I listened to on my turntable, if that none of these songs really got airplay other than Joanne on radio. But if you were playing Nine Times Blue, you'd have to play Little Red Rider right after it. You couldn't split those two songs up on the radio because they were one after another. It's within seconds the other song starts. But anyhow, really like that. I like the tongue-in-cheek with the very last song on the A-side is the First National rag. They say they're taking a short intermission, and they'll be back once you flip this record over.
Oh, right.
I like the comedy. I thought it was really, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek, a little cheesy, but I think it's really cool. Also, the Crippled Lion on the A-side, one of their more of a poppy-sounding tune, but I kind of dig the beat. And you get it late in the song, you get that steel guitar that kind of comes in and pulls into the countryside of the band. And on the B-side, Keys to the Car.
I love that song.
That's a great song. It's
pretty funny. It's
a pretty funny song. So that's one of the albums that was a tough one for me to find for my collection, because I think this album barely charted on the Billboard Top 100. I think it was like number 81. So it didn't chart. And again, Joanne was the big hit, and the band didn't get to capitalize on it. They were over in England doing I don't understand what it is. A working man's club, which I guess maybe over here stateside we'd call dive bars. And they were playing over in England.
and they missed their chance to capitalize on Joanne. By the time they got back to the States, that flash in the pan was out.
Interesting.
So cool. The album cover is kind of cool. It's a needlepoint eagle with the arrows in his talon the olive branch.
Yeah, it's like the official seal
of the president. Right. Yeah. So pretty cool. I think it's a very 70s looking album cover. Cool band. Love their sound. Really creative. And the following two albums, I think, have some highlights on them as well. So for you guys and gals who want to dive into country rock and kind of get your feet wet on the Big Mike side of things, this would be a great album to pick up and listen to. And that's about it. I'd love to hear what you guys thought of it.
Yeah, I liked it. To me, you know, it's definitely like kind of that country rock. Kind of reminds me of Poco a little.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. Right in the same.
You know what? I found the same similarities. I was just gonna chime in with that, Casey. Good ear.
I enjoyed it. Too. Like it. It's something I would put on the background, and you know, it's not gonna be my first choice, but I wouldn't turn it down. You know, it's like a calzone for me.
It's like a calzone for you.
There you go. It's the calzone of country rock.
Yeah.
Big Ed, what do you think of this? Because
my favorite.
I told you, Mike, I didn't listen to it all the way through. I did it. I think I shuffled music all week because of what I was doing with this.
With a big countdown. So, but it's a fun album. I enjoy it. So
I listened to the first two songs and then got sidetracked with something and then shuffled everything.
There you go.
But the first thing I thought, but Casey had the right guess about it. It sounded like Poco-ish. So there was some influences going on. I'd be curious to see who was in that band, that any ties to him.
No ties to Poco. The guys in the band, they did run in the country rock world. It was John London. He was the percussionist. No, he's a bass guitar player. He was friends with Mike. And John came from, I think he was a Texan as well. Yeah, he was a Texan as well. So he had that country rock. He had that country influence. And then Red, whose real first name is Orville, he was actually from Altoona, Illinois. But he made his name out west as a session musician. But, you know, it definitely has that same kind of vibe as Poco. It's West Coast country, what's called West Coast country music. It had that there right there, kind of in the same mix.
Yeah, I could see that.
Poco picking up the pieces with 69. Mike Nesmith in the first national band, Magnetic South, was 70, January 70. So it's all right in there.
Yeah.
So,
do you know what I like the reference where they said they give you time to flip the record over?
Yes.
Do you know, I've been listening to Tom Petty, Full Moon Fever. That's the one that has Free Falling, Running Down a Dream. Anyway, after the fourth song, Tom Petty says, okay, if this is a cassette, we're going to give you a minute to flip it over. And, you know,
that's great.
Yeah, so I wonder if that's where he got it from.
This is kind of like they're breaking the fourth wall, the musicians. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's kind of cool.
So,
yeah. What else we got, gang?
Any updates there, Jimmy Mike, for us?
No updates. No. Going through the news, couldn't find anything that interesting to bring up.
Yeah, pretty boring news day.
Yeah, nobody doing stupid shit down here in Florida.
That's
making
that's
the news so right bizarre. Now.
Well, the only news I saw, they delayed a couple movie premieres. Top Gun Maverick's getting delayed till like May of next year.
Are you serious?
Why?
And get out of here. Why are they doing that? They want to make sure they can pack the theaters, or they don't want half-filled theaters because of COVID. So
wow.
they're pushing that one back. They're pushing back Mission Impossible to like Labor Day of next year.
Let me ask you this. This has got to cost the studios a lot of money. They have all this money on these films.
Yeah.
And they're on the shelf right now. They're making them $0.
Well, it could be a contractual thing too, which Disney's going to find out that, you know, they're fucked because they weren't supposed to put that Black Widow streaming. They did, and they were – well, there's a lawsuit going on with Scarlett Johansson right now.
Really?
Yeah. So they kind of – she lost a lot of money over it. So, you know, she rightfully sued them. So.
Yeah, Disney's got deep pockets.
Yeah, they're going to lose that one.
Wow, I can't believe – it's funny, you know, it's Top Gun Maverick. I was looking at that, and I was like, that could be a show outing to go see that film and review the film, and now it's pushed back.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll still do that.
We'll That's, do it.
Stay tuned for May of next year.
May of next year. Shit.
All right, so about show business and how crazy it is, the original showrunner, executive producer, Frank DeGrant of The Walking Dead, just reached a settlement with AMC. AMC's paying him $240 million.
For what?
Wow.
Wait. That's just the settlement. So he would have cleaned their clock. So they were manipulating whatever numbers on – however, the show generated revenue, and that's how much they owed him over the years.
Oh, so they were fucking him.
Not the only one, but also the guy that created it, too. So, and that one hasn't been settled yet. That's probably going to be even a bigger payday. But that has to be happening more.
The old fuckerici on the...
Yeah, you know, creative accounting.
Yeah, creative accounting. Cooking the books.
Yep.
Cooking the books.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
So what other movies are pushed back?
The Mission Impossible.
That's it?
That's the only ones I've read. I'm sure we'll probably hear about James Bond getting pushed back again then.
Well, it gives you something to look forward to.
Hey, Eastwood's got a movie coming out.
I saw that. Cry Macho.
Yeah. It's like 2 weeks.
What's it about?
It's hard to tell. I think it's like him helping a kid come to age.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. That's all I can kind of discern from the ads.
From the trailer, it's tough.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe like a Gran Torino.
That was a good movie.
But he's making eyes at like a lady, older lady, a lady probably in her 50s.
Yep.
Clinton is what, 80s?
Yeah.
That's like a grand slam for him.
Yeah.
Like, hey, baby. But his real wife, her name's Dina, just like my sister.
I think he's 91.
Is he not? No.
Wow. I think so.
Well, his real life wife is like half his age. She's a news reporter.
Yeah, let's look this shit up.
I'm looking it up right now.
Here we go.
He's born 1930. He's born in
1930. Yeah,
so
he's 91.
Damn.
Yep.
No shit, he is 91.
Yeah, man. He just keep working.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I guess if you live good, then hey.
His wife is Dina. She's
They're divorced now. Dina Ruiz.
Uh-huh.
She's 56.
Wow.
So she is 35 years younger than Clint.
Nice.
Clint Eastwood. Good man.
He's a good man.
He's had some career.
91, still doing films.
Yeah, still doing films. That's
incredible.
There's no one that was doing that. He's a leading man still.
Right.
That film's going to do – that's going to make some money.
I bet he's directed it too.
I'm sure he is.
I bet you're right. Let's Big Ed, let's take a look at this. Let's see what it says here in the Google machine.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Gotta go way down here.
Yeah, we got it. He's searching. Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. That's a Google machine making
Cry Macho. And let's see.
I love the sound effects on the Google machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is directing.
Yeah, director, producer.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
Damn, Clint.
Yeah, and he'll probably be there at the Oscars for it.
Wow, at 91 years old.
Yeah.
Still got sharp as a tack. Sharp as a tack.
You know what? That should be an inspiration for people.
I hope he tells someone to get off his lawn in this movie, too.
Me, too.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, he's always pretty scary.
Yeah, he's got that down.
Get off my lawn.
Oh, Dwight Yoakam's in the movie.
Who?
Yeah, Dwight hasn't done any acting in a while.
Yeah, Dwight Yoakam, he's country a artist.
Country artist, but he's done some acting. He's
yeah,
done
a few good movies. Actor.
Yeah.
What was the one?
Well, he was the movie with wasn't he with Billy Bob Thornton?
Yeah, that one. That's the one. That's
Sling Blade.
Sling Blade, yeah. He got Dwight Yoakam was the abusive boyfriend to Sling Blade's mom, and he ends up getting chopped in the head by Sling Blade.
Right.
So wow, how about that?
Like mustards on the biscuits.
No, on his fries.
No, I think it was mustard on the biscuits.
Was it?
I like mustard on the biscuits.
Sling Blade.
Yeah.
So
nailed it.
Nailed it. So this is based on a novel, this film. A 1975 novel of the same name. By N. Richard Nash.
Oh man, I thought you were gonna say Nixon. I was gonna get really excited.
The plot follows a former rodeo star, that would be Eastwood, who is hired to return a young man, Eduardo Menton, in Mexico to his father, Dwight Yoakam, in the United States.
Hmm.
So, all right. 91!
The Elian Gonzalez story.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Well,
that was dated. He got sent to Cuba.
He sure did.
Poor
Elian. Yeah. He got to live with Castro.
He probably got his picture with Castro.
No, he did. He became like a part of the state, like you live with Castro.
Well, yeah, he's propaganda now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he was that.
Yeah. Well, I wonder what Elian's doing now.
I don't know.
Who's this broad?
Carmella or the other girl?
The one with the rhinestone tears or whatever.
I forget her name. She was in a tag team that got broke up because Ruby Riott was kind of booted from the WWE, but that was her tag team partner. So they're working, you know, a new line, a storyline to get her back in the singles. So, well, I think we set it all.
Well, at least for this week.
For this week.
I don't think we set it all. Well, I don't think we end.
This show is as long as Physical Graffiti.
Yes. So, with that, like, subscribe, share, tell a friend.
Oh, look at Mysterio. Where's his onesie? Did he grow up or something?
I'll tell you what, this music always makes me sad.
It's true. That's the whole idea. It's the end of the show. We're off that.
It just makes
me sad. I hope our listeners are sad. Because if they're not sad, we're getting off the air. If they were happy, we're getting off the air.
That would be different.
What a world of shit.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, happy Labor Day to everybody.
Happy Labor Day. Be safe, everyone. Take care.
Adios.
Bye.